We give glory, honor, and praise to the name of Christ, the Redeemer and Sustainer of our faith. To this great pastor, Pastor Duggar. Y'all can give it up for him. Amen. To the president of the Memphis Baptist Ministerial Association, Pastor Luther Williams. To all of these preachers that are on the rostrum and even in the choir stand, and to those that are in the audience tonight, it is a joy to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And what I've come to discover tonight is that the same God that we worship in Mississippi, He's here in Tennessee. Amen. Amen. And I just love the spirit that's dwelling in this place. Songwriter said there is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it is the presence of the Lord. Amen. I have certainly and thoroughly enjoyed everything that has transpired on tonight. Amen. From the devotion to the choir singing and then our meal course. Amen. And I just love to see folk, if you're going to do something, you ought to put all that you've got in it. Amen. For I found out that from the heart will reach the heart. And I felt you on tonight. Amen. It is good to have a house full of saved folk. Amen. Amen. It is good to have a house full of saved folk, which indicates that we ought to have some folk who have some amens in your vocabulary. Amen. The record is let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I believe we ought to have a whole house full of safe so folk. Amen. On tonight. Amen. I'm happy to have my wife with me. Sister Glover, wave your hand, Sister Glover. She don't always come out this early in the revival. Normally she'll join me maybe the second or last night, but I'm privileged and honored to have her with me on this first night, along with my daughter-in-law and Robert back there, a couple of our members of our church who resides in Memphis. Amen. And my son on the organ. I solicit your prayers tonight. I want to invite attention tonight to the book of Job. Chapter 23. The book of Job. Chapter 23. Around verse 8, I want to begin our reading. If you found that, would you say amen?
Amen.
Reading from the New King James rendering, it says, look, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take.
Yeah, he knows. Right. Yeah, he knows that.
When he has tested me. Your Bible might say, when he's tried me.
Yes, sir.
I shall come forth as gold.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right.
Our subject tonight is a test to become the best. A test to become the best. We serve an awesome God.
Awesome.
Who desires the best of his people.
Yes, sir.
And certainly we ought not just be satisfied just to be called a saint. But we ought to want to be the best that we can for the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all praying with me? In order for that to happen, we must be tested.
Yes, sir.
All right.
We must be tried.
Yeah.
In order to become tempered.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is that many of us saints
come on.
Would prefer to be in our spiritual rocking chair.
All right.
Or our spiritual recliners with a do not disturb sign on us.
All right.
But if we are to be our very best, we must be disturbed.
Yes, sir.
Got an opportunity a few years ago. My washing machine broke down and I got a brother who tinkles with everything. And I called him over to look at it. And oh yes, he got it going. But the problem, when you have folk that just tinkle, there's always gonna be an issue somewhere. He got me going, but the manufacturer originally built it whereas that as long as it's washing or rinsing, you're not supposed to be able to lift the top. But he Negro rigged it. But he helped me because I got an opportunity to see how this machine operates. In the middle, in the bottom of this machine is what you call an agitator. And I saw as the clothes began to wash, the agitator was continuing to go up and around. Up and around. And as it began to go up and around, I saw the dirt.
Yes, sir.
The water became dirty. And then as the water went out, the rinse water came in. That agitator went to work again. And it begins to clear out all of the soap that might have been left in the clothes. And what I've come to figure out is that without the agitator, the clothes wouldn't have never gotten clean. And I come tonight to tell us that without the agitation that God allows in our lives, we can never get better. He allows the agitations of trouble to disturb us where we can be our best. And let me tell you that if you don't want to be disturbed, you don't want to be a child of God. Because God does not get our permission to agitate us. But he wills it to be so when he gets ready to do it. And I know to some of us it might seem that we have already arrived. In other words, we are just where we think we ought to be. We come to church dressed like church folk. We know how to talk church language. We know how to act real churchy. We know how to sing church songs, pray church prayers, and even preach church sermons. But the question I raise tonight is, are we really as far along as we make ourselves and other folk believe that we are? I found out that everything that looks right on the outside, everything that looks dumb on the outside, it ain't necessarily so. My sister-in-law brought a turkey to Thanksgiving dinner one Thanksgiving, and it looked brown. It was a butterball turkey. It looked dumb. But when we began to carve it, we discovered that it was not done on the inside. Matter of fact, blood was still in the turkey. And you know, old-fashioned cooks, they don't just use timers. If they use them,
that's right,
they are still don't trust the timer. They get a fault. And stick it in, make sure it's tender enough. But I come tonight to tell us that even though we look done on the outside, the inside still needs a lot of work. Truth of the matter is, God is not concerned about us looking the part, nor dressing the part, nor talking the part, nor even acting the part. He wants us to be the genuine product. We live in a time now where fake stuff is prevalent. In our day and time, I went to somebody's house and there was a fruit basket, and it looked mighty inviting. But when I reached for a piece of fruit, I discovered it was plastic. Folk like fake stuff. We wear fake jewelry. You can't keep it on too long because it'll turn green on your fingers. We like fake looking eyes. We got all kinds of contact lenses. Y'all ain't hipping me tonight. And God knows it's a lot of fake hair. In this day and time, the reason why I know is because on Sundays I see folk with hair down their backs. And on Monday,
Sunday you look at them and you wonder what happened to the hair that they wore on yesterday.
Yeah. All right, boys, all right. All right, man.
Amen, Linda.
Tonight.
Tonight.
Job gives us something.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. All right. Yeah.
That will help us.
All right.
Most of us who've been in church in a length of time have heard the story of Job.
Yes. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Job was the richest man, the Bible says, of the East.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
He was one that feared God.
Yeah.
And assured evil.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's right.
He was one that prayed for his children just in case.
Yes.
They had cursed God with their lips. The record tells us that one day when the sons of God presented themselves before God, Satan came to church. And I come to find out that he yet comes to church. And he'll make himself known. If you just wait a few minutes. He came. Job, or rather God, had a talk with Satan.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir.
He says to Satan, where you coming from? He said, to and fro. He asked him a question. Have you considered my servant Job? He says to God, Job just following you. He just close to you because you built a hedge around him and you blessed him with so many things. He said, let me have him for a little while and I'll make him cuss you to your face. Well, certainly he did seemingly irreparable damage in Job's life. Destroyed his camel, oxen, and all of the other animals he had. When that wouldn't make him cuss God, Satan came back again and said, look, if you let me touch his person, I'll make you cuss him.
Yes, sir.
Cuss you to your face.
Yeah.
God said, yes, as long as you don't end this life.
All right. Yeah.
We know that balls came upon Job's body. In so much until Job's wife said, why don't you curse God and die? But Job held on to his integrity. Then he had three close friends to come. By the name of Zophar, Bildad, and Eliphaz. They were, if you notice, three friends. They came. And they didn't say a word to Job for 7 days. It would seem that if they were true friends, they would have at least brought him a can of Campbell's chicken noodle soup. Brought him some salve or something to rub the balls. But yet, they said not a word for 7 days. What a friend. But at the end of the 7 days, they began to talk. Instead of saying some comforting words, they began to condemn Job. I'm one, don't kick me while I'm down, at least wait until I get up. But they began to condemn Bro Joe. Zophar had his chapter dedicated to him. Bildad.
Yes, sir.
And even Eliphaz.
All right, sir.
And basically, they all said the same thing.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir.
You must have done something awful to God to be in the shape that you're in.
All right, sir. Come on, come on, break down.
Let me just give you a few excerpts of what Eliphaz said. He says in verse 22, or rather chapter 22, and verse 5, is not your wickedness great? And your iniquity without end?
All right.
For you've taken pledges from your brother for no reason.
Yeah.
And stripped the naked of their clothing.
Yeah.
He said, you have not given the weary water to drink. And you have not, you have withheld bread from the hungry.
Yeah.
And in verse 9, he said, you sent widows away empty.
All right.
He says in verse 10, therefore snares.
Yeah.
All around you.
Yeah, yeah.
He says in verse 21, now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby God will come to you.
Right.
And then finally in verse 23 says, if you return to the Almighty, you will be built up.
Yeah, yeah.
All of these condemning words.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir.
But yet he had no proof.
All right.
Job in chapter 23 begins to have his say.
All right, all right.
He says in verse 3, oh, that I knew where I might find him.
Yeah.
All right.
That I might come to his seat.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
He says, I would present my case before him. And fill my mouth with arguments.
Yeah.
I would know the words which he would answer me.
Yeah.
And understand what he would say to me.
Yeah.
He said, would he contend with me in his great power?
Mm.
No, but he would take note of me.
Yeah.
And then he says in verse 8, look, I go forward.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not there.
Yeah.
He says, and backward, but I cannot perceive him.
Mm.
When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him.
Yes, sir.
And when he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows,
all right, sir,
the way that I take.
Yeah.
All right.
And when he has tested me,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I shall come forth,
yeah,
as gold.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir.
Job didn't know the reason.
Talk.
He was being tested.
Yes. All right.
But he did know the outcome.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And I've come to find out that God didn't talk back to him right then and there. And I've discovered in my lifetime that I don't care sometimes how much you pray.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I don't care how much you might want to fast.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes God ain't talking back to you. I know it because when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he says to God, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God didn't talk back to his son. That let me know that if he didn't talk back to Jesus, sometimes he ain't talking back to you. Deliver me from folk that always got a message for me. Talking about what God done told him to tell me. But I tell him, you know, God ain't always telling you stuff. Some stuff you telling yourself. I've learned in school that when teachers give tests, the room is quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sir.
There's nobody talking. He or she may be walking around observing, but nobody's talking. She can't answer your questions while you're testing.
All right.
Come on, help me here. But at the end of the test, you can ask your questions and possibly a good probability that you're going to get an answer. And I found out, y'all, that what she's trying to do is trying to find out how much you have learned from her teaching. And y'all, when God ain't talking, you need to fall back on what you've learned through the Word of God. When I'm praying about a situation, God don't always give me an instantaneous answer. But I learned how to lean on what I know. Until God decides to give me an answer. Well, three things, and I'm going to be out of here tonight.
All right, preacher.
God allows us to be tested.
Yes, he does.
And three reasons I want to present tonight.
Let them down.
First of all, he does it to reprove us. In other words, to rebuke us.
All right.
Find fault in us because we don't always do what God says. And when we get out of the will of God, God has to put us back in line. The Hebrew writer says over in chapter 12, brethren, do not despise the chastening or the chastising of the Lord. You got to know that when he's doing it, it's just proving that you are his child. He says, if he does not chastise you, then you are a bastard. Bastard means that you don't have a legitimate father. Can I put it like Maury Povich? He is not the father. He reproves, he rebukes his children.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In order for us to be made better. Number two. Not only does he reprove us, but he does it to improve us. In other words, to make us better. Better. And I think that each of us ought to want to be better today than we was on yesterday. And if the Lord let me live tomorrow, I want to be better tomorrow than I am today. We ought to have a sanctified desire to be made better. And you know, when I found out that you don't reach maturity overnight. It takes a lifetime. Amen. It takes a lifetime. But you ought to recognize improvement when it comes. Had a young man, I tell a story all the time. His name is Calvin. He's gone on. He was murdered last year, but Calvin was an alcoholic. He would come by my house seemingly 2-3 times a week looking for some work.
All right.
He didn't come begging for none, but he always wanted to work, and even though he was an alcoholic, he did a good job. But the only problem was I didn't have enough money to pay Calvin every day he came back.
All right.
Amen. One day I was driving down the street. Calvin was coming back. I just paid him. And he coming from the store with them one of them large, big old cans of beer. He thought I didn't see him. And when he came, when I drove by, he hid it. At least he had enough respect for me, but can I tell you, the evidence was already there when he knocked on my door. I could smell it without even opening up the door. But I've been thought about that. You know, look like Calvin ought to be wanting to get better. But I thought about it. Instead of me down in Calvin, I don't know, maybe Calvin was drinking a whole case of beer. And now he's down to a half a case. Can I tell y'all, that's improvement.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
People don't want to give folk credit for improvement.
Yeah.
Y'all help me. Well, sometimes we down our children for stuff that they've done, but you don't know sometimes where they come from.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't want to be here all night. God does not, he does it to reprove us, to improve us, but he also does it to approve of us.
Yeah.
In other words, to regard with favor.
Yeah.
You know, when the potter makes his vessel, he molds it and shapes it.
Yes, sir. Come
on. And what he wants it to be, and then he puts it in the oven to harden it. And then he gets it out of the oven after being hard, and then allows it to sit. And then after he had become cool, then he began to paint it or decorate it, whatever he wants it to do. And then he puts it out in the window. He puts it on display.
Yes, sir. Well, yes, sir.
In other words, he has approved of his product.
Yes, sir.
Come on, help me here tonight.
Yes, come on.
And I come to find out, y'all, that I want God to approve of me. At the end of my story, I want God to approve of his servant. Amen. And so in order for these things to happen, in order for us to be made better, God has to do these things. Job says, and when God gets through, I shall come forth as pure gold. When gold is purified, there is a product called flux that he uses to smelt down the gold. And in the process, all of the iron and copper and zinc comes off, and you have nothing left but pure gold. Job knew that this testing was a process to get him to be the very best. You know, sometimes God allows us to go through back-to-back tests. You know, when you just went through the death of a loved one, and then immediately after, you might have some definite illnesses, your own self. But I want to tell you tonight that God is just testing you. So as you might become your very best. I found out that testing ain't pleasant. But we are to be able to stand the test. Because the Lord is just making us better. I've experienced some things in the last few years. I've had some difficult moments, but I know that I ain't the only somebody that's had some difficult moments. But when I look back over my troubles, I've come to find out that it's only a test that God has put in my life. And y'all, I hope somebody is able to see that I'm getting better. When I trace the steps of where when I first, the Lord found me, I've had a whole lot of improvement in my life, but it's only because of the test that God has been giving me. I say, oh, bless his name. I'm just about out of here now, but I want to tell y'all a story of a building that was being built in downtown Memphis. Well, the building was going up, and after it reached a certain level, they discovered that they wasn't building to withstand earthquakes. So they had to tear it down and then build it back up again. Well, when they got the building up so high, there was a storm that came through the city and damaged the building again. And so you know what they had to do? They had to tear it down and start back over again. But I'm glad to report tonight that the building is now standing. It's supposed to be able to withstand the earthquakes. It's supposed to be able to withstand the storms. I said, oh yeah, and I come up tonight to testify about myself. I wasn't always able to take some stuff, but now I'm able to stand folk talking about me. I'm able, yes I am, for life to be spread on me. I'm able for my name to be spread on the wings of the morning. I'm able to stand some storm, because the Lord have been testing me. Can I tell y'all tonight, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better. Yes, I am. I don't know about you tonight, but I ain't complete yet. You don't see it, but there's a sign around my neck that's saying I'm a work in progress. Please excuse the inconvenience, because God is still working on me. When it get through, when it get through, when it get through, I know I'm gonna be better. I say,
see you. Do me a favor tonight. Take that neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, tell him again, neighbor, you ought to look at me. I'm a testimony. I may not be all he want me to be, but God is working on me. Can anybody shout, yeah? Yeah! Oh, yeah! Ain't God all right? Thank you, Lord. He loved me so. Until one Friday, he let his son Jesus go to a hill called Calvary. He did die, died for you, and then died for me. Stayed in the grave all night Friday, all day Saturday, and all night Saturday night. But early, somebody help me say early, 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 early. Sunday morning, didn't he get up with all power?